This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side of the five. Michael Turner.
Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, looks, fires over the middle. Caught, touchdown. Welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Garrett Lynch, and he's got it. It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald.
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
You have successfully found the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio. My name is Brian Lowe. We come your way every Thursday during the football season, taking your fantasy football questions, doling out some fantasy football advice, and always eager to hear from you at webradio@patriots.com. Also, call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. Plenty to get to here in week 8 of the NFL season. That means that we are at the halfway point. Really, we are. If you figure a fantasy football season generally goes about 14 weeks, give yourselves 2 weeks of playoffs, that means 7 down, 7 to go in the regular season. Hard to believe, really hard to believe that we are at that point already. It seems like just yesterday we were watching the Saints and the Vikings on Thursday Night Football in week 1. And how about that as a spot to start? The Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings come to New England this week, and as big of a game as that is, all the storylines, it really is a compelling game fantasy football-wise. And we start at the quarterback position with Brett Favre. He's been an abysmal fantasy quarterback so far with 10 interceptions, more interceptions than touchdowns this year, after last year having one of his best ratios in the 20 years that he's been a quarterback. And now, you know, he's got this ankle injury, and my take is he's going to play, but I'm not so sure he's going to finish the game, which puts you in a pretty big quandary if you are a Brett Favre owner. And my suggestion for this week would be sit him. Sit him. Now, here's the problem, though. 6 teams are on a bye week. Even if you've done your due diligence with having a backup quarterback on your team, maybe even having 2 backup quarterbacks on your team, what if that backup is on a bye this week? What if the backup quarterback that you've had, or, hey, listen, Brett Favre probably himself deserves to be a backup fantasy quarterback, not a starter, but what if you've been trying to ride yourself through a Joe Flacco-Brett Favre QB combo platter this year, and you've got Joe Flacco on a bye, and you've got Brett Favre officially listed, I believe, or, well, you know, officially he's going to be questionable, I believe, for this week. But like I said, my sense is he plays. If he plays, he's going to be throwing the ball up a lot, in my opinion, to Randy Moss, which is going to mean 2 things. It's probably going to mean some pretty good yardage. It could very well mean a touchdown or 2. It will definitely mean interceptions. Even though the Patriots' pass defense is not very good, what's probably going to happen is they'll give up yardage to Moss, to Harvin and company, Shanko as well. But Favre is going to throw interceptions. The Pats will be able to pick the ball off and have some turnovers. So there you go. The big risk with Brett Favre is he doesn't even play all the whole game. And if he does play the whole game or most of it, you're probably dealing with interceptions in this game, much like virtually all of the games he's played in this year. Do you try to pick up Tavares Jackson? Well, I say it doesn't hurt, but I wouldn't start Tavares Jackson this week. I'd pick up Tavares Jackson because of the chance that this injury that Brett Favre has is more than just the garden variety bumps and bruises that he's always complaining about during the week. This could be more of a legit injury that truly could keep him out of games. And, you know, maybe Tavares Jackson, maybe he's not a terrible quarterback to pick up on the waiver wire for upcoming weeks. But now, you talk about Favre, you also have to talk about the impact of a Favre being injured or Favre not playing on guys like Moss and Harvin. If Randy Moss thinks he's going to have a huge game with Tavares Jackson playing quarterback, I think he's mistaken, and I think fantasy owners would be as well. You're not going to sit Randy Moss in this game under any circumstance. You know that he's been begging Brett Favre and Tavares Jackson, Joe Webb even, to get the ball his way this week so he can show Bill Belichick and the Patriots what they're missing. He'll get his this week. He will get his. I bet he has more catches than he's had in any game so far with the Vikings, and I bet he has a touchdown. He's done pretty well against the Patriots in the past. But if Tavares Jackson plays, this is Adrian Peterson all day long. Maybe, you know, if Jackson is looking to throw the ball a little bit, I could see shorter passes to Percy Harvin, maybe a little bit of Vasante Shenko. But the thing is, you just simply cannot bench Brett Favre. So very compelling the Minnesota offense this week going into this game. And from the Patriots standpoint, we can talk about that as well. From the Patriots standpoint, you know, I think they're going to be able to move the ball against the Vikings. A big part of this game is the pass protection against Brady. Brady was sacked, I believe it was 4 times last week, but he was hit and affected by the Chargers pass rush a whole lot more. And I think that more than anything else was a reason why the Patriots couldn't get much offensive flow in their game against the Chargers. And I think if they have more of the same, then I think it downgrades all the Patriots wide receivers this week. Branch, Welker. If this is the week that the Minnesota pass rush, Jared Allen, Ray Edwards and company, and the Williams guys, if they come to play and they start really getting after the passer more than they have so far this year, that's a terrible deal for the Patriots skill position guys. Brady will still, you know, have his moments, but, you know, who last week from the Patriots offense was worthwhile in fantasy? No one, really. I mean, Green Ellis had a touchdown, nothing else. Gronkowski had a touchdown, nothing else. And then Branch and Welker and Hernandez and those guys had a few catches, a few yards, not much else. I think that would be the fear. The fear would be that the Patriots offense maybe does enough to win, but, you know, really not much of a to write home about from any of them. As far as fantasy goes. So once again, we want to hear from you at webradio@patriots.com. I cannot express enough how exciting and appreciative it is that we've gotten so many emails the last couple of weeks, to the point that I've had to get back to people after 5 o'clock on Thursday. Haven't been able to get all of them in. We're going to try to get all of them in. That's what we're here for. We're here to take your questions, talk about some of the interesting storylines in fantasy, and particularly this week and next week, with 6 teams on a bye week, leaving only 26 teams playing and only 13 games. That diminishes your options in fantasy this week. If you have a normal full lineup, a roster full of great players, most likely you see a lot of bye this week, simply limiting your options, but also making it very difficult to pick up fill-in guys, because you don't want to cut guys who are on a bye if they're good. You don't want to cut Roddy White just because he's on a bye. You know, I mean, maybe someone like Colt McCoy, you can afford to cut and pick up a wide receiver if you need one. Are you going to want to cut Michael Vick or Kevin Cobb even though they're on a bye? Yeah, you probably have holes to fill, but tough calls here. Very, very difficult calls here, and we'll try to help you out with some of these questions. Let's get right to them. This is from Glenn. Glenn says, "Hi, first of all, I want to thank you for helping me last week. I managed to win, which sets me to 3-4 and second from the bottom of my division. He's in a 16-team fantasy league. Last week seemed to be the first week I managed to not sit my best players, thanks to you. Could you please help me with who I should start? I also have managed to do a few trades since last week, which might not have been the best thing. I may have done something stupid. Last week I accepted a trade for Johnny Knox, giving up Mike Thomas. However, this meant I didn't have enough wide receivers, as I had too many wideouts on a bye. So I dropped my kicker and picked up Nate Burleson off waivers. Now I'm kickerless. How do you think I should get a kicker? I was thinking about dropping Cobb on Sunday and hope I can get him via waiver wire next week. Or should I try trading two players for one?" And Glenn rattles off his team here. His projected starters would be Matthew Stafford, Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch, Larry Fitzgerald, Brandon Marshall and Nate Burleson, Aaron Hernandez at tight end, and the Rams defense. And then he's got Michael Vick, Javid Best, Ryan Matthews, Johnny Knox, Roddy White, Todd Heap, and Kevin Cobb all on his bench, with only Javid Best and Ryan Matthews playing this week. So Glenn has the same sort of problems that a lot of people have with a lot of buys, but as he said, he made a trade that, while value-wise, Johnny Knox for Mike Thomas, you know, you could certainly make the argument either way, just didn't have the correct foresight in seeing where his bye weeks fall. So Nate Burleson, not a terrible waiver wire pickup this week against Washington, but he finds himself short a kicker and no one obvious to cut. Here's what I'd say to you, Glenn. Your best option for trade is to look around your league, find someone who has the same conundrum you do at wide receiver at running back. You've got Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, Javid Best, and Ryan Matthews all active this week. Frank Gore certainly is not a guy you want to cut, especially with Troy Smith playing quarterback for San Francisco. I think this is all Frank Gore right now. And I kind of like Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. He's been relatively productive going against Oakland this week. So you've got Javid Best, who's sort of hobbled but might have some value. And you've got Ryan Matthews, who I think, I want to believe the arrow is pointing up on him as far as health and opportunity. But I was out in San Diego last week. Matthews did very little, and Mike Tolbert got the goal line carries. But Glenn, if you find someone in your league who has huge holes at running back, maybe what you could do is package Ryan Matthews and one of your wideouts, let's say Brandon Marshall, or Ryan Matthews and Johnny Knox, a guy who's on a bye, package those two for a better wide receiver. Maybe you trade Marshawn Lynch and Brandon Marshall for a better wide receiver. Then what you could do is slide the other running back that you have into the starting spot. You'd put the new wide receiver that you have into your lineup, and you'd do a two-for-one trade, which frees up a spot to pick up a kicker. Other than cutting someone like Todd Heap or cutting someone like Kevin Cobb, which I wouldn't recommend, to me, you've got a bit of a dilemma here because you have three quarterbacks on your roster, which is a lot, but Michael Vick and Kevin Cobb, you want to keep both because ideally, in a perfect world, after this week, you trade Matthew Stafford if he has a big week. You trade Matthew Stafford and go through the season with Cobb and Vick, and whoever's going to play, you start. But for this week, short of cutting Cobb, which I wouldn't recommend, or cutting Todd Heap, which, while I wouldn't recommend, I can see where a lot of there's good depth at tight end in the league this year. And I feel like at tight end, you could pick up someone that's useful on any given week. Now, Todd Heap is a very, very useful tight end. You could consider trying to trade him to someone else who has, you know, maybe trade Heap and Ryan Matthews to someone who maybe has a lesser tight end going this week, but then could cut that tight end and slot Todd Heap in there and then open up the spot. Because clearly, Glenn, your goal here is to open up a spot for a kicker. You need a kicker. You can't go into the week without a kicker. So you got to make a two-for-one trade, or you could cut Todd Heap. I'd try to make that two-for-one trade, Glenn. Great email. Sorry about your dilemma there, but I wish you luck. Matt in Morgantown, West Virginia. Thanks for reading my email last week. I would have probably won if it wasn't for another devastating injury. I've lost Mark Clayton, JerMichael Finley, and now Tony Romo. I'm in some serious trouble. I'd really appreciate some advice for my lineup this week. So Matt says, at quarterback, he picked up Matthew Stafford from the free agent list since he is expected to play, and that is true. Matthew Stafford is expected to play this week against Washington, and Washington has the 31st ranked defense in the NFL, the 31st ranked pass defense in the NFL. Matthew Stafford has a good matchup. Now Matt continues by saying Ryan Fitzpatrick is also available. Stafford is up against Washington. Fitzpatrick is playing against Kansas City. What do you think is the better play? I also have stored Michael Vick on my bench, and he will probably be my QB after their bye week. Matt, you know, I'm very impressed with what Ryan Fitzpatrick has done, specifically with Steve Johnson. And I think he's going to be able to have a decent game this week against Kansas City, as good as Kansas City has been, and their defense is pretty good, although not as good against the pass as against the run. I kind of look at Matthew Stafford and Ryan Fitzpatrick in a very similar category for right now. So I would say stick with Stafford. If you were debating between picking up Stafford or Fitzpatrick, I'd still probably lean towards Stafford, but I'd say, you know what, Fitzpatrick isn't a bad get. And I think you're in pretty good shape at quarterback because I like Stafford a lot this week. Sure, there might be a little bit of rustiness, but Washington has given up pass plays this year, and I think you'll be all right. And then if you have Michael Vick and Matthew Stafford going forward, it does look like Michael Vick will be the quarterback for Philly after their bye week, but you just never know with Andy Reid. So if you've got Matthew Stafford and Michael Vick on your roster, I think you'll be in decent shape going forward. I think both those guys will have production. At wide receiver for Matt, he asked me who I'd say. Pick two. Mike Williams of Seattle against Oakland, Deion Branch against Minnesota, Michael Crabtree against Denver, saying I don't know what Alex Smith's status is, and his status is a no-go, or Jabbar Gaffney versus San Francisco. So of those two, I would probably say Mike Williams of Seattle and Jabbar Gaffney. Mike Williams had a huge game last week, which I predicted a big game for the Seattle passing offense. It wasn't massive, but Mike Williams was far and away the most targeted wideout for Seattle. I see that continuing. Oakland has itself a little bit of momentum with their win over Denver and a good pass defense, and Seattle has not been as good on the road as it is at home, but Mike Williams is getting the ball thrown his way. I like him. not high on Deion Branch this week against Minnesota. I think we're going to see similar to last week, more like last week than the week before. I don't see a touchdown for Deion Branch. Michael Crabtree, I'd say stay away. Troy Smith is playing quarterback this week for San Francisco, not Alex Smith, and I don't see it really being a downfield passing game. And then Jabbar Gaffney against San Francisco. You know, Denver's passing game has been really good and took some hits last week, but Kyle Orton has been throwing the ball a ton. Jabbar Gaffney is heavily in the mix. Denver's wideouts have been, you know, it's hard to tell week to week who's going to be the main guy, but I think Jabbar Gaffney is a decent play this week, so I'd go Williams and Gaffney. And Matt says at running back, he always goes with Frank Gore. Safe bet this week. He's probably the highest ranked, if not the highest ranked, he's one of the top three or four highest ranked running backs anywhere this week. And then a tight end, he says Aaron Hernandez is the only one on my roster as of now. Hey, go ahead. Aaron Hernandez has been pretty good as far as targets and yardage. Still hasn't been in the end zone. You know, I keep on saying I feel like that's going to change, but, you know, when the Patriots get to the red zone, Gronkowski is more of the target. What I keep thinking with Aaron Hernandez is his ability to run after the catch and break tackles, eventually he's going to break one loose for a touchdown. And it's probably going to be a big touchdown. It'll probably be a 50, 60 yarder because Brady seems to go to him more when they're farther back, when they have more room to play with on the field. And if he can break one, that would be huge. And then Matt asks finally, flex, choose between either Ryan Terrain or any of the receivers mentioned above. I usually play LeSean McCoy, but he is on a bye. Ryan Terrain, I've gone back and forth with, but, you know, I think Ryan Terrain, this week against Detroit, did I make a mistake here? I think I did. Washington is playing Washington at Detroit. Okay, no, I didn't make a mistake. That's right, Matthew Stafford. I was right on there. Yeah, Ryan Terrain this week against Detroit, I think it's better than any of those other wide receivers that you've mentioned there. I go Ryan Terrain in your flex spot. Matt, thank you very much for the email. webradio@patriots.com. That is the email address. We've got many more emails to get to. A couple of other thoughts that I had just going through last week's games and guys who I've just kind of had my eye on this week. Beanie Wells. I think what's going on in Arizona is that Tim Hightower is going to start losing snaps. That's a sense I get from reading comments from Ken Wisenhunt. And just in general, I think Beanie Wells' carries have increased, while Tim Hightower, he's had some fumbles, starting to see a decrease. I think we're going to see the number one draft pick, Beanie Wells, more and more, starting and certainly starting this week. One other note, as we're getting to this, I did just notice that Deion Branch, who we just mentioned, he was added to the Patriots injury report today. With a hamstring injury, which is interesting because I was in the locker room before the game. Deion Branch was talking to the media for quite some time, and he was out at practice at the beginning, which makes me think that this hamstring injury must have happened during practice. So very difficult to say right now what that would mean as far as his availability or if it would impact him on Sunday, but I would say that's a little more reason to think Branch might not be a huge fantasy factor this week. Back to Beanie Wells. I like Beanie Wells. I think the arrow is going up on him. And a couple of other things, a couple of other guys that I think the arrow is going up on. Indianapolis. Boy, oh boy, have they been hit hard by injuries. Joseph Addai, Dallas Clark, Austin Collie, a lot of injuries. But guess who is returning, it looks like, for Monday Night Football this week at home against Houston? I should say at home against Houston and Houston's 32nd ranked defense. Anthony Gonzalez. Now, he probably won't be 100%, but I picked him up off waivers in one of my leagues, and I am going to take the gamble that he is going to be one of the highest targeted players for Peyton Manning this week. I think that's going to be a game where Peyton Manning and the Colts passing game, regardless of who's out there, we're talking about Reggie Wayne and guys like Blair White, we're talking about Jacob Tammy at tight end, we might even be talking about Mike Hart instead of Joseph Addai and Donald Brown at running back. But I think they'll be able to capitalize on Houston, and I think Anthony Gonzalez is a guy to consider off waiver wires. Legadu Nane is another one coming off injury with San Diego. Seeing the way the San Diego offense operates, they throw the ball. Phillip Rivers throws the ball, whoever's out there. If it's Vincent Jackson and Malcolm Floyd, if it's Legadu Nane and Seyi Iyaranjutu, if it's Brian Lowe and Kevin Collins, he's going to be throwing the ball deep. So if Legadu Nane does come back, and it looks like he will. It looks like he'll be there this week as they host Tennessee. I kind of like him as well. I like Legadu Nane as a guy to pick up in your fantasy league waiver wire. Next email we have today is from Toussaint Lynn. Hi, B-Lo. Love the show and just listened to the podcast from last week's show. Had a quick question. Just read Legadu Nane is starting this week. Would you play him at the flex over Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? Well, you know what? I would say that for this week, my guess is what we're going to see out of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is similar to the last couple of weeks. He'll score a touchdown. He scores touchdowns. The guy gets the ball in the red zone. He scores touchdowns. He probably won't have a ton of yardage. If touchdowns in your league get you huge numbers, more so than yards, I say go Green Ellis. If you're in a point per reception league, I'd probably take more of a gamble on Legadu Nane. I could see Green Ellis having another game where it's 8 to 10 carries, 30-something yards, not huge production, but a 5-yard touchdown. That's what I'd be expecting out of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. That's kind of what I'd be expecting out of him most weeks. Minnesota, fairly stingy defense. Not quite the defense they had last year, but you know the defense has not been atrocious for them. And it looks like they are the 11th ranked run defense. So, if all things are equal, I'd probably go Green Ellis just because he has a better chance, I think, of scoring a touchdown than Legadu Nane coming back from injury against Tennessee. But like I said, I like Nane. I do like Legadu Nane this week, and I would not hesitate picking him up. And if you're a team that has a lot of bye weeks at wide receiver, you know, go get him, and you'd be in pretty good shape. We've got an email here. This is from Dave in Quantico, Virginia. He sends me his lineup. Quarterback, Kyle Orton. Wide receivers, Terrell Owens and Deion Branch. Running back, Ryan Terrain and Cedric Benson. Tight end, Aaron Hernandez. And flex spot, Wes Welker. Those are my starters, but I also have no Sean Moreno on the bench. Should I sub him in the place of Welker or Benson? Just seeing what your opinion would be. Well, what I noticed about no Sean Moreno this week is that he actually came up lame at practice on Wednesday. And what this means for his status for this week, it's a little unknown right now. But, you know, I think he's listed as questionable out in London this week against San Francisco. I think this could have been a game where Moreno would have a chance to do all right, but you're going to have to monitor this one over the next couple of days because, you know, if he had a hamstring injury during practice out there, they're already out in London, less time to really recover from that. And he's kind of been hobbled all year long. I wouldn't really trust Moreno. As of right now, I wouldn't trust Moreno. I would not put him ahead of Cedric Benson, for sure. And I don't think I'd put him ahead of Wes Welker, even though I'm not overly ecstatic about Wes Welker and what he's been able to do production-wise without Randy Moss. I would probably say stay away from Moreno this week. Keep Cedric Benson in that lineup and keep Wes Welker in the lineup as well. That's what I'd say to you, and good luck with those choices, but I don't think it's a huge choice there, Dave. So thank you very much for the email, webradio@patriots.com. That's how you can reach us. And that is how Craig has reached us. Hi, B-Lo. Who would you start this week on these two choices? All right, let's get to it. These are what we're all about. The straightforward choices. Who would you start? Who would you sit? Ben Roethlisberger or Matt Schaub? Ben Roethlisberger at New Orleans or Matt Schaub at Indy? I'd probably lean towards Schaub. Gotta lean towards Schaub. Great passing attack that Houston has. Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, Jacoby Jones. I still kind of like Schaub. Roethlisberger against New Orleans. New Orleans, even though they've lost some games that they probably shouldn't have lost, they've got a really good defense, really good pass defense. I think you got to go Schaub in that equation. I think I'd rather start Matt Schaub and have him have a bad game than start Ben Roethlisberger and see Matt Schaub go off. And at his number two running back position, Craig asks Ronnie Brown or Danny Woodhead. You know, I'd probably go Ronnie Brown in general. I just think Ronnie Brown is the safer bet to get more carries and to lead his team in rushing. They're going against Cincinnati, a very hard to read team, but not a very good run defense. And Danny Woodhead, a very talented guy and a guy that I think does more for his actual team than what he'll do fantasy wise. He scored touchdowns in each of his first two games with the Patriots, one rushing, one receiving. Yeah, I just think that's hard to keep up that pace. And while he'll probably get 50 or 60 all-purpose yards, I just don't see him scoring a touchdown. I think Ronnie Brown's your safer bet there, Craig. He says, I think the rest of my lineup is pretty set. Arian Foster at one running back spot, I'd agree. Miles Austin and Brandon Marshall at the two wideouts, I'd agree. And then at a third wide receiver or a wide receiver tight end spot, Reggie Wayne. Can't argue with that one. Vernon Davis as your number one tight end. You know, listen, Vernon Davis, you still got to start him, but with Troy Smith at quarterback, I think he takes a hit as far as value. Steven Gostkowski, a kicker. Patriots defense, shaky one this week. Certainly if it includes special teams and return yardage, I'd say you're in okay shape. But, you know, Patriots defense, I wouldn't say I'm sold on them. Robert Meacham, Brandon Tate, and the Chicago defense on the bench. Chicago, of course, with a bye week. And then he's got, you know, the questions that he asked right there. Do you think keeping Brandon Tate around for another week or two on the bench is worth it? And do you think Rob Gronkowski is worth picking up for next week against Cleveland for Vernon Davis's bye week? Thanks for all the help. I'll need it. Brandon Tate, a tough guy to have to, you know, have a valuable bench spot on. I would say that if you have a way to keep him through next week, or actually it's week 10 when the bye weeks end, then when things open up a little bit and you have no fewer bye week worries, then maybe by then Brandon Tate will have exploded onto the scene and become a go-to guy for Tom Brady. I'd stick with him. If you have the bench space available through these tough bye weeks, I'd stick with him. As far as Gronkowski, I think Gronkowski would be a great play next week against Cleveland. But I also think that I've seen in a lot of leagues that tight end availability is high. There are a lot of tight ends out there, and there might be better tight ends than Gronkowski as far as overall number of targets. Rob Gronkowski has had, you know, really only two, three targets each week. And fortunately for him and for fantasy owners, a lot of those have been in the red zone. But, you know, take a look at the rest of the waiver wire. I like Gronkowski against Cleveland next week, but see who else you got. So, Craig, thank you very much for the email. We're still going through these emails here on the Fantasy Lowdown, webradio@patriots.com. We certainly want to hear from you. You can also call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482 here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Let's take one more email here before we take a quick break here on the Lowdown. Hey, Brian, hope all is well with you. I have a general question for you regarding the fine line between players that you may want to trade over those who are perhaps buy low options and how to judge the difference. Great question, Cormac. For example, I have Miles Austin. I realize with Kitna in that everyone, including me, is panicking. The first instinct was time to trade him, see what I can get, talking about Austin. But of course, everyone I've tried to trade him for is thinking the exact same thing, and nobody wants him for anything decent. Then I got to thinking, maybe everyone is actually going to overreact, and in my other leagues, I could try and get Austin as a buy low. So my question is, what's your general philosophy in regards to all this? Do I still trade him, or keep him, or trade him for whatever I can get, even if it's not great value? How do you judge the fine line between trade the guy ASAP and buy low? Also, because my running back depth is very poor on this team with Austin, what running backs do you think are realistic that I could get for him? Thanks, Brian. That's from Cormac. What a great question from Cormac. More of a philosophical one.
It's good insight.
More of a philosophical one, Kevin, than the start him or sit him, but I like this. And that's a great one. First of all, I will say this. I'm not really all that down on John Kitna. I think John Kitna is a worthwhile guy to get for a few reasons. One, he's got the weapons there. It's not like he's a rookie or a guy like Troy Smith who has done zero in the league. And, you know, he's a long-term guy now for Dallas. Certainly if he screws up the next couple of weeks, they'll pull him and play someone else. But I think Kitna's an interesting guy to get, and I'm saying stick with Miles Austin in this particular case.
Yeah, Kitna came in emergency duty and had 17 points last, fantasy points, rather.
Two touchdowns and no picks.
Yeah.
I think Kitna's a worthwhile guy. And in this particular case, Cormac, I say stick with Miles Austin. I will say this. If Miles Austin has a huge game this week, or if he has a huge two games, then trade him at that point because maybe it won't keep up. See what you can get for him. I'd say right now, keep him. Now, in terms of, in general, do I have a philosophy? I would say that my philosophy, I tend to be a little more conservative. And if I have a guy like that who, you know, a guy whose value is dropping because of a guy around him, and, you know, this is a great example, Miles Austin, his starting quarterback is down, I sort of lean toward being conservative because of the buy low element that you say. There are not, you know, actually, here's an example. Drew Brees, who still puts up touchdowns, still puts up yardage, but it hasn't been the same. A lot of interceptions. I have Drew Brees on one of my teams, and I've strongly thought about, I should probably shop him. See what I can get. Maybe I can get something big. But then I say to myself, you know what? More than likely, Drew Brees is going to turn things around. I looked at his schedule. He's got some easy games. He's got some games against some easier opponents.
I think the Saints in general will kind of turn things around.
I think the Saints will turn it around. So, in my opinion, if I trade Drew Brees right now, I wouldn't be getting great value. Wouldn't be getting the value I would have gotten, say, you know, this time last year.
Yeah.
So I say stick with him. Now, if you stick with him and he continues to decline, yeah, you're in a little bit of a pickle. But I think there's the risk reward is that if you stick with him and he turns it around, but you still think about he plays very well, you still have that opportunity to trade him and the value will be higher. So I lean toward being more conservative. I lean toward waiting it out, not selling low because, you know, the value is just not going to be there. The value might be better having him on your team than whatever you can get in return. And if you're blown away by if you're blown away in a trade offer, then go for it. But Cormack, I would say in the Miles Austin case, stick with him. I think you'd be better off. I think you'll be better off in the long run. Now, as far as his other questions about running back depth and who would he pick up? Well, I would say that a hot name on waiver wires right now is LeGarrette Blount for Tampa Bay. You got Cadillac Williams, you got Ernest Graham, but the arrow is pointing up on LeGarrette Blount. He's had reasonable production. He's getting the carries. I'd say he's definitely a guy to consider. And then another guy is Chris Ivory. At this point, probably harder to get Chris Ivory off waivers because he's already been, he's had a few weeks now where he's been their main guy. So production, but he's had a few weeks where he's the guy and might be harder to pick him up. And then the other one is monitor Indianapolis. It looks like Joseph Addai is going to be out, maybe for multiple weeks. Donald Brown and Mike Hart are both worthwhile guys. Houston is their opponent this week, and I think they're going to be able to pile up a lot of yardage, whoever's in there. Donald Brown, if he's healthy, and Addai is not, he's the guy. And then Mike Hart, you know, is also a guy to keep in mind. And then, you know, the other name you see a lot is Deji Kareem for Jacksonville. And, he's gotten a few carries, and he's sort of a guy that you just want to have in case Maurice Jones-Drew misses a game. It looks like he'd be a good bet. So there's a few names to consider there, Cormack. Thank you very much for the email. We've got more emails to get to. We still want to hear from you at webradio@patriots.com. Here on the Fantasy Lowdown, we'll be right back after this.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey! Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Now's your chance to hit a B-Low on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Call me, email me, whatever you want. Scream from the heavens. Send me your fantasy football emails, webradio@patriots.com or the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Brian Lowe here with you until the top of the hour, 4 to 5 Eastern, every Thursday, along with Kevin Collins on the other side of the glass. Next email we have here is Todd in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. B-Low, have some bi-week injury blues. Bi-week slash injury blues. All right, pick one quarterback, Phillip Rivers against Tennessee or Matthew Stafford against Washington. Rivers is my choice so far. I would agree. Like Matthew Stafford this week, but certainly like Phillip Rivers because they just throw the ball all the time. And, you know, if Legadu Nane comes back and Antonio Gates is healthy, that's a little better. So I give Rivers the edge, but Stafford's not bad either. Running back, pick two, should be a no-brainer with Frank Gore and Arian Foster. Arian Foster, the team he killed in the, against Indianapolis, the team he killed at the beginning of the year. But on my bench are Fred Jackson and Ryan Terrain. Yeah, you're going Frank Gore and Arian Foster without question. You've got two of the top three or four running backs on any rankings. And Fred Jackson and Ryan Terrain, nice guys to have on your team. Not for this week. Pick two out of the defenses. San Francisco or New England. I assume just pick one. San Fran or New England. If Favre plays, I'm leaning toward the Pats. Although I heard a rumor, the Jamaican Chinese sensation Patrick Chung is out. Is this true? Patrick Chung was back at practice this week, actually, Todd. I'm sorry, back at practice today, meaning he only missed one game. And if I had to guess, I say he is playing, which definitely helps the Patriots defense. But regardless, I think if those are your two choices, you're probably going to go New England. I don't love the New England defense this week, fantasy-wise, but San Fran, you know, out in London against Denver, a very good offense. I say no. I say you go with New England. Lastly, my teams are taking a hit this week to injuries and buys. I'm forced to start Rob Gronkowski at wide receiver, tight end, flex. My best options on waivers are Vasante Shenko, John Carlson, David Geddes, Roscoe Parrish, Buster Davis, and Mike Thomas. I love G-Force, that being Gronkowski, but want to defend my title even more. I know Gronkowski is mainly a goal line or needed yards threat. Hernandez has made himself as the number one tight end. Thanks. That's from Todd. Well, Todd, you know, I'd say that Gronkowski, the problem with Gronkowski is, like you said, he's really just a red zone guy. He's had a few other catches in the open field, but not enough to make him a real good fantasy starter. And I would say that, you know, of the other guys you mentioned there, like Shanko and John Carlson, I like him better than Gronkowski on a week-to-week basis. And I'd probably say Shanko is a pretty good bet for this week because I think he might be a guy that even if Favre doesn't play or Favre comes out and Jackson is in the lineup, he might still get some looks. I kind of like David Geddes, the wide receiver. He's come on pretty strong. Roscoe Parrish, not so much. Mike Thomas, not so much. Buster Davis, I think he's got an injury. I would say that Shanko is your best bet there, but you know, Gronkowski is kind of hit or miss. It's really touchdown or bust for him. So I'd probably say think about Shanko. Think about Shanko. He has not been a guy that's been really devastated by the Randy Moss addition. I think he's been just fine. Gustavo in Porto Alegre, Brazil says, Hey, B-Low. Need your help as always. Should I start Jamal Charles instead of Adrian Peterson this week? No, Gustavo, no. No. The Patriots' run defense has been very good. Patriots run defense has been good in recent weeks and really all year. And, you know, as far as Jamal Charles goes, he's going against Buffalo this week. Not a good run defense. And as he says, the reason I'm asking is because of the matchup. The Pats are the ninth defense against the run and Buffalo is the worst. But you can't sit Adrian Peterson. Jamal Charles is still sort of splitting carries with Thomas Jones sometimes. Adrian Peterson only has to worry about Toby Gearhart, who's not taking regular carries. My guess is it's going to be a tight game, Patriots and Vikings. And in my opinion, that means the running backs, you know, won't be taking a seat to the passing game. You can't sit Adrian Peterson. If you've got two running back slots and you have Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson, that's good. But you can't sit Peterson. Also, pick two of these wide receivers. Pierre Garçon versus Houston. Hines Ward at New Orleans. Dwayne Bowe versus Buffalo. Interesting questions there, Gustavo. Interesting questions there. And, you know, I would say that, you know, Dwayne Bowe has had some huge games the last couple of weeks. Huge games. Bowe has been, I think he had two touchdowns last week and maybe two in a previous week as well. Buffalo's pass defense is better than its run defense. I don't see how you can sit Dwayne Bowe. He's the hot hand. Matt Castle's been throwing to him. He's the hot hand. Then as far as Garçon versus Ward, I should have mentioned Garçon earlier when I was talking about the Indy offense. You got to like Garçon this week. You got to like Garçon this week against Houston. I would say that Hines Ward might be the tough sit among those three, in my opinion. I might like Dwayne Bowe a little more than a lot of other people do, but I think he's the hot hand. I might go Pierre Garçon and Dwayne Bowe if I need two of those three. And Gustavo also mentioned something that we talked about at the end of last week. P.S., you should bring Lindsay to the program more often. She is awesome. Well, who's going to disagree with that? Who's going to disagree with that? You know, we had Lindsay on the show last week. We asked people to chime in if they prefer Lindsay or a couple of the other guests we've had this year. Nick, the guy with the Boston accent, or Bob, longtime guy here in TV production land, but a good fantasy football owner, very much so. So there's a vote for Lindsay from Gustavo. Gustavo, thank you very much for the email. I think Kevin Collins might have an opinion, too. Sorry, Kevin, we didn't really include you on that list. You offended by that?
No, that's fine. I'm always here. I kind of have to be here.
No, you weren't last week.
That's true. I don't think that'll happen again. No more travel for this guy.
Right.
The revs are
right.
Done.
Kevin was away on a Revolution road trip, and that was the last season, last game of the season. So,
did you have a guest last week?
Lindsay stopped by for
cool.
A few. Lindsay stopped by for a few.
I'm guessing Jason was in the booth, probably.
Jason was there. We chatted with Jason a little bit. A little blast from the past.
For old time's sake.
Old time's sake. Listening to the Fantasy Lowdown here, we got an email from Paul in London. And I should say, as we get to Paul in London, a big thank you to the UK Patriots. A group of, what, about a dozen? Maybe more?
There were 10 of them that visited, but I think there might be 15 in the group.
Group of 10 or 15 are here. And how about this for a little week of sports action in Boston? Bruins tonight.
Yeah.
Celtics tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots-Vikings here at Gillette Stadium.
And they're taking a tour of Fenway on Saturday.
Is that right?
That is correct.
So they're hitting hockey, basketball, baseball, football,
they're
all in one
fell
swoop.
Hitting all the cathedrals. Yep.
Wow.
It's a good trip.
That's really good. That's really good.
But you get a figure, though, as I was talking to them earlier today. If you're going to come all the way over here, you might as well do it upright.
Do it upright.
And they're definitely doing it right.
If you come out here and you like sports, do it upright.
Absolutely.
So that's great for those guys. And they bought us lunch today, which is a huge, huge thumbs up.
And it was a huge, huge order.
Huge, huge order. Paul in London had a rough week in a few leagues, leaving McFadden on the bench. But who expected that to happen? All right, start him, sit him. Pick two. Owen Daniels, Dez Bryant, Justin Forsett, Dexter McCluster, Danny Amendola, and Donald Brown. I say Donald Brown for sure if he's healthy, and I like Dez Bryant. Believe it or not, even with the John Kitna situation now, I think Dez Bryant, especially in return yardage, if that counts, I'd go Donald Brown and Dez Bryant with Danny Amendola next on that list. Pick two, D'Angelo Williams, Felix Jones, Darren McFadden, Javid Best. Arrows pointing down on Williams and Best as far as injuries. D'Angelo Williams is questionable. Not so sure he's going to play. I go McFadden, hot hand, and I go Felix Jones, who I just think his impact in the offense is going to have to increase. It's been a little bit. I go McFadden and Jones. Pick two out of Santonio Holmes, Marcus Colston, and Mike Wallace. Give me Holmes and Colston. Colston, because I just think, as Kevin said as well, that the New Orleans offense is going to explode. And I like Santonio Holmes, too, this week for the Jets against Green Bay. Sam Bradford or Tom Brady? Boy, it's really hard for me to ever say sit Tom Brady because, you know, at home, you know, he's gotten more touchdowns at home than on the road. I think you got to go Brady. I don't think you can start Sam Bradford over Brady, even though Bradford has been impressive. Mercedes Lewis or Vasante Shenko? I've been high on Mercedes Lewis all season long. Jacksonville this week at Dallas or Vasante Shenko here in New England. I'd probably lean towards Shenko, although it's close. Two from Jonathan Stewart, Anthony Armstrong, and Devery Henderson. I like Stewart. I like Armstrong. Stewart for sure if D'Angelo Williams isn't playing. And I like Anthony Armstrong because Mike Shanahan has said he's our number two guy, and I think he's going to get some targets. Devery Henderson's been a disappointment this year, and too much other commotion at New Orleans wide receiver. Then we've got two from Jamal Charles, Frank Gore, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Javid Best. Gore and Charles, that one is a no-brainer. Mercedes Lewis or Owen Daniels? If Owen Daniels is healthy, I like him a lot. I'd probably lean toward Mercedes Lewis this week, though. And, Paul says, thanks as always, Brian. I can't believe it's been a year since both you and the PFW guys visited London. Hopefully either this season or next, I'll find a way to get to Foxborough and repay the favor with the lunch. Paul, thank you for the email, and that's right, it was a year ago. Hard to believe that we were out in London for that game, and it was great to meet all these guys from London from the UK who email our show all the time. It was really great to meet those guys. We've got an email here from Tim in Baltimore. Hi, Brian. Should I dump Miles Austin, or should I take a wait-and-see approach, similar to Cormac's email? I just picked up Pierre Garçon to play for Hakeem Nicks. Would he be an adequate replacement for Austin now that Clark is out? We're talking about a few different things here. You pick up Hakeem Nicks, or you pick up Garçon to fill in for Nicks this week because the Giants have a bye. Would Garçon be a replacement for Austin, meaning if you trade him? I wouldn't necessarily put those two together. Like, I'd say Garçon, Nicks, and Austin are all valuable guys to have. If you have a, you know, and we were talking about Miles Austin earlier in that, you know, are you selling low? If you trade him now, are you selling him at a time where his value isn't all that high? I think he's going to still be very productive, even with John Kitna. So I think Pierre Garçon is a shrewd pickup for you with Hakeem Nicks being down or being on a bye. And with Dallas Clark out, I think Pierre Garçon will get more catches, maybe. But I'd try to find a way to keep all three. Also, forgot to listen last week, and I started Denver's defense. Needless to say, that did not go well. Did you see that coming? Any idea of what defense to start this week? Tim in Baltimore. Well, Tim, here's the thing. I missed out big time. I swung on and missed on Denver's defense. In one of my leagues, I picked up Denver for a one-week claim against Oakland. How did that work out? Not very well. So I immediately dumped Denver, was so unimpressed, so disgusted, down 38-0 in the middle of the second quarter. I dumped them. The defense to go after this week is Kansas City against Buffalo. Kansas City at home against Buffalo. I've talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick, Steve Johnson, Roscoe Parrish, and I think they're going to have a little bit of production, but I'd take a gamble on Kansas City's defense this week at home. That would be my guess. We've got an email here. This one is from Mike. B-Lo, I'm facing the number one rated team this week, so I need your help. Start him or sit him. Oh, this is from Mikey Vandalism. Pick two QBs, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Sam Bradford. I go Brady and Bradford. Bradford against Carolina, Brady against Minnesota. If you have an opportunity to sit Favre, I'd say sit him. Wideouts, pick three. Wes Welker, Mike Wallace, Kenny Britt, Santonio Holmes, Eddie Royal, and Mike Williams. That would be the Tampa Bay Mike Williams. Kenny Britt, boy, get arrested every week, huh? Get arrested on a Thursday night, Friday morning, and have one of the greatest games a wide receiver's ever had. 225 yards, 3 touchdowns. There's no way that continues, but I'd probably say if you have to pick three of those, Britt's got to be in the picture. I say Welker's got to be in the picture, and I like Mike Williams. I like Tampa Bay's Mike Williams against Arizona. Not a very good defense. But those are some tough calls. I think those six guys, hard to really break any of them free from the other. I think you have some gambles with all of them, but I'd probably go Welker, Britt, and Mike Williams. There you go. Thank you. Pick three.
I knew it was coming. You did a good job. Very professional of holding that in.
Oh, thank you. Folding what in? I wasn't belching.
You were thinking about it. It's
not
C.
So much.
That's Fred. Fred,
oh, maybe
Fred's
that's
good
it
for
is.
About 15 of those.
15 every 2 hours.
Show, it's ridiculous.
So I should have about 7.5.
And then
Rook,
the guy that never does it at all, today for some reason did it 3 or 4 times.
No kidding.
It was obscene.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing out of Rook. All right, three running backs: Adrian Peterson. Yeah, he's one of them. Javid Best, Rashard Mendenhall, Chris Ivory, Jonathan Stewart, Danny Woodhead. Give me Peterson, Mendenhall, and Stewart. I like Peterson, Mendenhall, and Stewart. Best with a bit of an injury. Chris Ivory, a tough cut on that list, but he hasn't been worthy of starting above those others. And Danny Woodhead, definitely not. But Jonathan Stewart is a guy who, especially if D'Angelo Williams doesn't play, is a good bet. Tight end, pick one. Vernon Davis, Aaron Hernandez, Jacob Tammy. Still got to go Davis. You still got to go Davis in that situation there. He still is one of the top tight ends. Aaron Hernandez, pretty good. And Tammy, not start-worthy yet. Got to see what kind of role he plays in the offense. And finally, in the flex position, who should he pick among all these others? Well, I'd say Chris Ivory is a pretty good option. I'd go Chris Ivory with Santonio Holmes. Another possibility, Mikey. Thank you for the email. Winding down here on the Fantasy Lowdown. A couple more emails to get to. This one from Ben. Okay, I have Greg Jennings versus the Jets and Randy Moss versus the Pats. Which one should I start at wide receiver? Well, here's my question for you, Ben. You must have more than one wide receiver slot. I don't know of any fantasy league where you only have one. And if you're debating between Greg Jennings and Randy Moss, you must also have dominant wide receivers elsewhere, like Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne, Calvin Johnson, and Moss and Jennings. If you truly have to go with only one of those two, then I'd probably go Moss. But, you know, find a way to get both in your lineup. I'd be surprised if you only have room for one, but I'd go Moss if you do really only have room for one. Peter sends an email. Looks like he probably just needs one of the following five, although I can maybe rank him for him because he doesn't really give me a question here. But he's got Braylon Edwards, Jabbar Gaffney, Santonio Holmes, Roy Williams, and Mike Williams, the Mike Williams of the Bucks. If I have to rank all of those, I'd probably say, it's a tough one. Between Edwards and Holmes, hard to say which one will have the bigger impact. Believe it or not, I might go Gaffney as my number one guy if you have to pick one of those. I might go Gaffney. I like Holmes and I like Edwards, but I really do like Mike Williams. I like Mike Williams a lot. I think Roy Williams, not so much. I'd probably go Gaffney, Mike Williams. Figure it out between Edwards and Holmes as far as three or four, and then Roy Williams five. Peter, that's the way I would go. Tough call there because none jump out at me as a surefire guy this week, but definitely an interesting question nonetheless. Here on the Fantasy Lowdown, we're winding down as we approach week number 8 on the NFL slate, and we've got one more email here in the inbox. This one is from Lyndon. Chris Johnson, Pierre Garçon. Okay, I see what he's doing here. Chris Johnson and Pierre Garçon in the lineup, or Frank Gore and Pierre Garçon, or Ryan Terrain and Reggie Wayne. You know, I'm not sure I follow exactly what the question is here. If it's just a which duo do I like the best, if it's which duo do I like the best for this week, I might go with the Frank Gore situation. I'd probably lean toward who's the better running back than who's the better wide receiver in general because, you know, better chance that the running backs are going to get their opportunities. I think Frank Gore is going to have a huge week this week. I think Pierre Garçon pretty good as well. I love Reggie Wayne, too, but I'd probably go Frank Gore, Pierre Garçon if you're asking me which of these three groupings is the most productive fantasy-wise. Interesting question there, Lyndon. Thank you for the email. Thank you to everybody for your emails this week. It's sure to be an exciting week of NFL action, and I think the epicenter of it could be right here at Gillette Stadium this week with the Patriots hosting the Vikings, and I think another interesting one, Pittsburgh at New Orleans on Sunday Night Football, and then an explosive fantasy offensive game Monday night, Houston at Indianapolis. Primetime games this weekend, Kevin. Pretty big. Good luck to everybody this week as you sort through bye weeks. This week and next week, six teams on a bye. Then we only have four in week 10, and then all done. All done with the byes. Injuries, I can't quite say. There are probably going to be injuries every week. Good luck with the byes. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Lowdown. We'll catch you again next week here on Patriots.com.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.